Good evening. You've made it through the work week. You've made it to Friday night. You've made it through to another World Poetry Open Mic highlight show. We're on hiatus this week. Do not call. Enjoy these calls from past shows. I do want to say we will be back next week with World Poetry Open Mic and World Poetry After Dark. So enjoy the show. We'll see you on Friday, June 13th.
From Pennsylvania, she is Ellie.
Hi, Michael. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Sorry.
Okay, that's good.
All right.
I feel like I'm on that commercial. Can you hear me now?
Good. All right.
I feel like that too sometimes.
Yeah.
And we just look
How
at them with blank faces.
Doing?
We're doing great. How are you?
I'm great. We've got a nice summer day here. The temperature's going up to like 90 in the next couple of days.
Oh, we got snow coming in this weekend.
We had 49
inches.
I
just heard that on the news. You're getting like a foot of snow?
In the foothills, yes.
In the foothills.
Yes.
No pun intended.
Foothills.
This is crazy weather all over the country. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've got a nice poem for you tonight.
All right.
And it's called Ancient Remembrance. Misty sea, drowning the lost years, midsummer's unfaithful tears, where have gone beyond love dreaming, drowning yet never the imagining, forgetting these coastal rocks sculpted steadfast, worn asunder of ancient longing past. What do they know of love, midst angry seas, pounding endlessly hardened by degrees? Yet they remain where they know not roaming, or love their soul enough to be as freeing. And if love should sail too close, too near, not recognition, only crushing, never to endear, never to know what has too long missed among the stones of indifference, of persist. Roam no more the seas of autumn dying. Seek needs within thy soul, thy keeping, where all is love of the one, never sleeping.
Very well done.
Thank you.
I love the fact that you lead off our show each week. That's awesome.
That is awesome that Ellie leads off our show each and every week. She's really quick with those dialing fingers, and I thank her for her support. Another person that supports our show and does a great job with our podcast submitting poetry to that is our World Poetry Open Mic Poet of the Month for June. His name, David Paget from Australia. David, congratulations. Much accolades to you. And for those that aren't familiar with his work, I'm going to play you some right now.
Hi, guys. This is David Lewis Paget in Australia, with another Gothic called The Grandfather Clock. The old Tudor house was half-timbered and gaunt, was gloomy and dim in the hall, and time had stood still since my father was born in the clock that had stood by the wall. Its pendulum hung, never making a sound. I'd never so much heard it chime, but then on the day that my dad passed away, its tick had begun to keep time. My mother was dead, my father was gone. The half-timbered house passed to me. I wandered its passages sad and distraught, as lonely as one man could be. I'd sit in the lounge and I'd read by a lamp with the rest of the house cloaked in gloom, and heard the dread tick of that grandfather clock as it echoed in time through the room. Each tick was a portent, the passing of life. Each tock brought me nearer to death. I'd listen for noises, the timber that creaked, sit terrified, holding my breath. The warm summer showers pattered the thatch. The wind would sough sough at the eaves. And summer passed quickly to autumn that year in a thick golden carpet of leaves. I never once wound up that grandfather clock. I waited for it to wind down. But like a tap dripping, it never would stop. I felt I was starting to drown. I found in the library's masses of books an ancient collection of tomes, and one that was covered in leather. I looked and read, and I wished that I'd known. Sir Richard Fitzwalter had lived in that house, and he it was ordered the clock. It fought against Cromwell for Charlie I till Charles lost his head on the block. It fled to the country, was caught in the house and hanged on the tree by the gate. His wife, Lady Mary, had begged for his life, but the roundheads had jeered, "You're too late." She left and went sobbing back into the hall, and she clung to the grandfather clock. But just as her husband, his heart ceased to beat, she heard that the ticking had stopped. That clock never ran for the rest of her life, but showed just a quarter to four, the time that Sir Richard was pinioned and hung at the gate on the tree by his door. The clock began ticking when Mary had died, had taken her grief to the grave, and each generation it stopped or began when the master was born or was saved. I knew then the clock had been ticking for me, and I wanted it never to stop. I'd wake in the night and I'd tremble to hear if my heart was still pounding or not. Then one winter's night I was restless and rose from my sleep and walked down to the hall. A cavalier soldier stood facing the clock, adjusting the pendulum pawl, resetting the weights on that grandfather clock so my heart would continue to beat. From that time to this I have lived here content, while Sir Richard returns as I sleep.
Wow, what a voice, what a read. Well done, brother. I can't wait for the day that you call our show. And that is why you're World Poetry Open Mic Poet of the Month, even though you just submit for our podcast. Brother, well done. We're going to go from that to, from a submission to our podcast, to a submission to our World Poetry Open Mic contact form. This was sent in by Pam Schwetz and read by Michael right on the air.
All right, so you have a submission for us?
I do have a submission. Uno momento, por favor. Okay.
What does that mean?
That means one moment, please.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
But this one is from a longtime contributor, Pam Schwetz.
All right.
And this is called Dungeons.
Okay.
Dungeons of doom and gloom. Do you have any room for hope at all within your walls? Trapped away in dismay, that's no way to stay. Release me from this tomb. I need some room. Free from these chains, I must use my brains to escape certain death, even if it takes my last breath. That is from Pam Schwetz.
Wow.
It's Dungeons.
Nice.
It's a contribution. Right. Sent into worldpoetryopenmic.net. If you're listening to the show and you want to contribute, but you don't really want to call in, you can send it to us through the contact form there.
And you can go ahead and submit through our contact form at worldpoetryopenmic.net, which is how you're listening to the show right now. All right. So we're going to go from that to a first-time caller we had from New York. Rock in the house. Please welcome Theodora.
First-time caller from, I believe, New York. Please welcome Theodora.
Theodora. Hello, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you for joining our family.
Yeah, it's my first time, so I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome.
You're going to do great. What do you have for us?
It's a poem called Orange Soda, and it is certainly rated PG-13 or better, I guess.
Thank you. Sweet. Thank you.
And, it's just a short poem, probably about, 2-3 minutes long. It's designed to be read at a poetry slam.
Oh, great.
And, yeah.
Okay, well, whenever you're ready.
All right. So, here's Orange Soda. To my boyfriend in the fifth grade, I'm sorry I broke up with you after only a week. It's just that I don't like orange soda, and so I didn't want your orange soda. And the thing is, if you think I want an orange soda, then this just isn't going to work. See, I think a lot about my future. Fifth graders can think about their future, I assure you, and I am sure my thoughts and feelings and plans have certainly changed. But I know, if you're going to buy me an orange soda without asking me first if I even like an orange soda, then what if you never ask me about anything I like? There's only so long before it's the thought that counts becomes, you really didn't think about me, did you? I know it's just an orange soda, but it is also so much more than that. Love is a liquid that fills you and makes your heart jump and race in a rhythm that defies a logic that even the carbonation process can't explain. But like those bubbles, it rushes and gushes with flushing cheeks and pulsing lips, and your brain teems with the carbonated thoughts of what ifs, and you don't care what Mr. Wonka said or the gym teacher spying on you thinks, you don't want to come down from this fizzy, lifting drink. but thrust me into a world made of your orange soda and never even ask me if I like it, and you poured us into that glass too quickly. Nothing fits, nothing stays, it just runs right over and into the plates and silverware, and that's no way to keep this house clean. You can't even tell if the glass is half full or half empty, and then we would have nothing to talk about. The only option when it comes to soda is that it is just right. To my boyfriend in the fifth grade, I want you to find your orange soda lover, and I want you to have orange stained mustaches and orange coated tongues, and maybe you'll buy stock in the orange soda manufacturing company. You love each other that much. But me, I'm looking for a cola. Someone with that caramel coloring on the inside, made of mysteries, made of darkness, that makes you ask questions, that makes you like asking first. Thank you.
Wow.
That was great. I like that.
And I like the euphemism.
Thanks, guys.
Orange soda crush. It was very good. Well done. Not wasted either.
You made me spit my strawberry soda all over the wall.
It's an interesting pattern in here now.
Yes.
All right. I do want to remind you, do not call tonight. We are out of the studio. We're actually partying downtown at the Art Walk, but my daughter graduates tomorrow, and that's why we're taking the night off. Anyway, we're going to go from one caller in New York to another. Please welcome last month's World Poetry Open Mic Poet of the Month, Steve.
We have our next caller, who's kind of a special caller.
What?
Oh. He's someone that brings fear into the hearts of all poets. And
didn't we hear his work already once tonight?
Well, that's what happens when it's good.
You heard it? And the River Queen sailed better on Lake Michigan than she ever did on the Hudson.
Nice! Well done!
Dennis honored me.
Yeah,
he did. And did a really, really nice job.
Yes, he did.
Good evening, gentlemen!
Good evening!
Good evening!
How are we today?
Oh, sinful. Always sinful.
Oh, sinful. I thought you said simple.
No, that's you.
I'm like, that was after the Billy Joel comment.
And I was going to say, and honest.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, very much.
But don't forget, you are the men who prove that television is wrong all the time.
Well, how do we do that?
Well, because on television, the journey to adventure is Gunther-less.
Aha. But we've got
okay,
Gunther.
Okay, somebody remembers a really bad TV series from
yes.
the 60s. Thank
yes.
you very much.
Yes.
Well, I still watch MeTV. I was watching The Honeymooners a week ago.
Wow. This just got really interesting really fast, guys.
So.
Okay. I have two short pieces.
Okay.
And I have my weekly challenge for Michael.
Excellent.
Fair enough.
But first, I have to give a shout out.
Oh.
There is a young woman listening this evening who has never been able to listen live before.
Nice.
And more years ago than either of us would like to remember, she was the inspiration for the very first poem I ever had published back in college.
Really?
And I want to thank her for always being supportive and lying and telling me I have talent. So Lisa, thank you.
What was her name?
Now, Michael, is your movie knowledge ready?
I hope so.
Okay. This one should be fairly easy.
Okay.
Tragic lovers past, rekindled in the struggle. Whom will Ilsa choose?
Oh. Come on. I'm double checking it. I think I have the answer real quick.
If you're pulling up IMDb, that's cheating.
No, it's not. It's not IMDb. In fact, I completely just screwed myself over by trying to type it in Google. It didn't work.
Sweet. Good job,
anyway,
Michael.
Okay. So, Ilsa. Okay.
You want it one more time?
Are you stumped?
Tragic lovers
okay.
past.
Yeah.
Rekindled
right.
in the struggle.
In
Whom
the struggle.
Will Ilsa choose?
Okay, so I could be completely wrong. I'm doing this completely without checking it. I could be completely wrong. I'm going with Great Gatsby.
Not only could you be completely wrong.
You are completely wrong.
Okay,
you
right.
are.
Hey, I'm also human.
Is it?
Strangely.
Is
what?
It Gone with the Wind?
No.
Ilsa, no. No.
Ilsa.
Ilsa.
Ilsa Lund. Her choices are Victor Laszlo and Richard Blaine.
Okay, let's see. I actually don't know this. I don't know this one.
Half Squatch?
No,
Shall we refer to you?
No, I'm blank.
Wow, you even okay. Stumped the new movie critic.
1942, Best Picture winner, I believe.
Okay, Casablanca?
Right. No. My God, you just going to go for any black and white out there?
Well, that's the first one that popped in my head.
Of course.
Okay, all right, here. I'm pulling this up so I can actually act like I have not used IMDb, which I'm totally doing right now.
Yes.
One moment. Okay. How green was my valley?
That one in 42? Okay, then this didn't win. Or maybe it won in, well, Bogart got nominated for the first time.
So I wasn't far off.
Casablanca.
It is? Oh, my gosh.
What?
I said Casablanca.
How did I not remember?
Really?
Yes.
Oh, no. Oh, Steve must not be able to hear you.
Could you not hear me?
No. When?
I said Casablanca right before Michael looked it up on IMDb.
Wow.
Somebody got it. I don't feel as bad.
No, you were good.
And then JT's like, no, you're not right. And
I have
evidence right here.
Yes, we do.
Steve, I have to say, if any of my film professors are listening, I'm probably going to get a very unpleasant phone call in the middle of the night.
Yes, you are.
And you deserve it.
Yes.
I kind of do. It's a great film.
Okay.
All right.
Well, on that note.
I stand humbled and chagrined and shocked.
Oi.
Oi. That's a lot of things to be at once.
Yes. It's almost as bad as being bewitched, bothered, and bewildered.
I am that too.
Yes, and as I understand it, someone was doing A Boy from Hoboken and A Boy from Astoria all afternoon.
That's right, and that was a great time, but I'm a little tired.
Aha.
Yes.
You know I go from rags to riches. But anyway.
Yes.
This is supposed to be a poetry show.
Yes, and you're supposed to be doing poetry.
That's become incredibly misinformed movie trivia.
But only on our end.
Two short pieces, and in order to protect the innocent, I must remind people who may be listening, I am a writer, not a cop. I do not feel the need to beat every piece into submission to extract a confession. This is just a poem.
Right.
Okay. First one is called From the Garden. Every day with you I played the thief as together we strolled the gardens of Venus. In borrowed clothes, I gathered stolen flowers. I drank sweet wine poured from another man's cup. I tasted the finest meat prepared for another man's table. Together we shared all the stolen secrets until, at last, like poor deluded Adam, I was cast out of paradise once Eve recognized her shame.
Wow.
Crickets. I hear crickets.
What was that?
I said crickets. I hear
crickets. No.
You heard crickets because the mute on the phone was on. We were actually clapping.
We were clapping screaming. For you.
I fell over. J-Todd, I don't even know where he went. I think he fell down behind the table there.
There you go.
Oh, God. Time for one more short one. Nobody
okay.
All right. Minutes.
Okay, this one is called Ambiguous Neverland. In the ambiguous Neverland between what yet is and what might yet be, I hunger for you. But at present, I am merely to dance with my demons as in solitude I walk the silent streets of desire, softly whistling the tunes of hope.
Wow. I really like
well
that.
Well done, brother.
That's good. Yeah. I like that.
And that's why he's poet of the month.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't think
like
we even
that.
Need to explain why.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just keep it coming, right?
Thank you very much. And
yes,
to all the mothers, both here and in memory. Happy Mother's Day.
Yes.
Yes.
And we're going to go from that to the longest supporter of our show, Steady. We've had longer supporters. They've listened since week one. But this is the longest contributor to our show. Please welcome Dennis.
It is Dennis from the Mitten State. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. Hello, World Poetry Open Mic.
Hello, Mr. Hello. Dennis. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and I'm glad to be on tonight. I have a couple poems to share with you. The first one is a poem by our fallen poet, Randy Williams.
All right.
He was a really good poet and a friend. And I'd like to share with you his poem. The title is Gaze Upon the Stars, and it's written in the quatern form.
All right.
To gaze upon the stars at night, my eyes drift among the glory, to witness wonders they have seen before man could tell his story. A blessing to behold it is, to gaze upon the stars at night, where heaven's gate awaits us all. Beyond that gate lives holy light. In awe of all thy hands have made, yet none to your Son can compare. To gaze upon the stars at night reminds me he waits for us there. Thankful I am for your blessings. Such beauty I hold in my sight. Of such love I am confessing, to gaze upon the stars at night.
Wow, he was a fine writer. I don't think I got the privilege of knowing him while he was here with us. Wished I had.
Yeah, I wish I'd had talked to him more often. His name is Randy Williams. He wrote under the pen name of Rand Dandy at allpoetry.com.
Ah, he's going to be missed.
Yes, he is. My second poem tonight is one I've written. The title is Regarding Coats.
All right.
A coat is a facade, an outer vesture that may or may not reflect the inner image of the person who wears it. A grand coat may be cloaking a scoundrel, while a humble, threadbare coat may be worn by a noble, honest person who values integrity and shuns deceit and vanity. Much like a mask we may wear to hide our true feelings, a coat may be picked to promote a favorable image rather than the essence of the wearer. As a book should not be judged by its cover, neither should we be unduly influenced by the magnificent threads of a fine coat, but by the fabric of character of the person wearing that garment.
Another strong write from Dennis in Michigan.
Dennis, thank you, sir. And thank you for your work this week. But I also want to say thank you so much for being such a, not just a supporter of the show, but a real contributor to the show and a real member of the family here. And thank you very much for everything, sir.
And we're going to go from as far away as Michigan to right in our backyard. This is a gal that's been a long supporter of our show off and on, and she came back to us recently. And she was at the World Poetry Open Mic first ever live event, and I can't heap enough praise on this woman. She is Veronica.
This is someone we love very much. She actually was even at at our first ever live event last year.
Yeah.
We have Veronica on the line. Veronica, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome back, my poetic sister.
Hey, it's the prodigal poet has returned.
Ah, yes, yes, you have. But we're glad you have.
Yes, I've been really struggling with learning how to speak again.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So you had... bear with me as I lisp through the poem slightly. I'm getting better.
No worries. That's okay.
All right. Well, I have a piece I've written called Tread Lightly.
All right.
All right. You guys ready for it?
Yes, we are.
Always.
All right. Swirling in my head's a theme. Inside the living, there's a scheme. Patterns slap me in the face. Life is beauty and it's grace. Words bend, flex, and color troop. Puzzling me since my own youth. Each has his own rendition in accord with ambition. Claims to have life figured out. Man declares there can be no doubt. At one time the world was flat. There goes their truth with a splat. Catching glimpses over time. A picture forms. It's born in rhyme. Gently stoked. Words can ignite, leading to some deep insight. As the word wick starts to glow, I glimpse some pieces of life's show. Tantalizing clues come forth, pointing to my own true north. Galaxies in DNA move to see in a brand new way. Fractal patterns connect all life, calling me to forego strife. I am you. And you are me. We are no different than a tree. We're particles in motion, not the drop, but the ocean. Living sparks within a rock connect to me and I take stock. Gossamer threads reflecting light, adding to my meaning sight. Everywhere I step is me. Sentient being meant to be free. We are all in life's embrace. I see you in my own face. Links between all life laid bare. It teaches me to give my share. Connections shine so brightly. I know I must tread lightly. Thank you.
Wow. This is really good.
Veronica, you still got it. I don't care what you say about lisping. You can't even tell. It was amazing poetry.
Yes, it was. And we've added several other new members to our family recently. One such person that I really enjoy their work. Please welcome Corey.
Corey, are you there?
I am.
Awesome.
Great. Can you turn down? Do us a favor and turn down your speakers real quick.
Listening.
Yeah,
device.
I did. I muted it.
You got it. We sprung it on you real quickly. So how are you tonight?
I'm wonderful. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing great. Thank you for calling World Poetry Open Mic again. I hope you have something astounding to share with us.
No pressure.
I do. I have something great, but first I want to say our first time caller tonight, Tommy, that was great, man. That was good.
It was Tommy threw down. Holy cow, yes.
That was the first time that really did a good job, so.
He sure did. He sure did. So what do you got for us tonight, Corey? We're looking forward to it.
Well, tonight I'm going to read a poem that I wrote for the love of my life, and she's actually listening tonight, and she don't know which poem I'm going to read. But this is when we first got together, you know, about 4 years ago.
Okay.
So I want to read this for her, and I'm dedicating it to her tonight.
Excellent.
All right?
Okay.
It's called My Heart. Struck by beauty, which left me rendered at a loss of speech, none to depict the mental image which colors my heart and soul, found only in your presence, enough to make my heart lose control. Descriptions close to the tip of my tongue, yet just out of reach. Lost in the crimson tinted waves and curls of your hair, stolen by depth and beauty, found in deep blue eyes. Captured by lust and love, so lost under sunny royal blue skies, as my heart skips a beat, taken hostage by the return of your stare. Yet lost in thought, as I see through your clever guise, hard, tough, you pretend as love and softness you try hard to hide. A loss for breath, heartbeat left unsynchronized, as you lean in and our lips collide. Brain still chiming inside, hidden beneath the smile, knowing I won over the other guys. hidden by clothing, a land undiscovered to many men, enjoyed by eyes, caressed softly by hand, lips, and tongue. An amazing body forever preserved in mind, an eye forever young. Just another perk to such an amazing win. A win of heart, mind, and body, a passion found when entangled like vines around a great oak. Expressed by language and actions with words never spoke. Expressed in ecstasy found only when two halves of a heart collide as a loved embody.
Well done, Corey.
Corey, that was great, man.
Hey, that's one of my favorite poems that I've written. And, you know, like I said last time, again, you can find all of my poetry on PFF on Facebook.
And now we're going to go from Corey to someone located on the eastern seaboard from Richmond, Virginia. Please welcome Siddhartha.
So
the only way we can make it better is if we're to hear from somebody from, say, like Virginia or something.
Someone from Virginia. I mean, yeah. You're thinking of maybe someone like Siddhartha, perhaps.
Possibly, if she could call in.
Siddhartha, are you there?
Hello.
Oh, hey,
bonjour, monsieur.
Bonjour.
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 And that's about...
Comment allez-vous?
No, I don't speak that either.
Whatever. How are you? That's all it means. Comment allez-vous? How are you? Whatever.
We're good. How are you?
I'm très bien. Thank you. Very well.
Oh, awesome.
I'm glad you clarified that meant, meant very well.
Well, you know, I mean, that middle school education has to count for something, right? Oh, like a couple little words. You got to use them somewhere.
Exactly. Well, it's true. You know, one of the things I got really good at in middle school was I actually found ways to replicate hall passes. So I actually was copying them and selling them to people. I was
go
very
to
industrious.
The clinic, right?
Yes,
and
good.
Really sneak out and like do bad stuff.
Yeah. Well, I never really did. Actually, I would go to the library and learn. That was a really funny thing.
But, hey, way better. Excuse me.
Okay. No, bad stuff. Yeah, bad stuff. I wore a leather jacket while doing it, though. And a pack of Lucky Strikes rolled up in your sleeve, right?
Just to feel good with myself.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Oh, no.
So
you guys are having fun tonight. I like that.
Always
we
do.
Are, and,
we
you know,
always have
I
fun.
I'm glad you called us tonight.
I love to hear it. And you guys are bringing that stuff over here to Virginia soon, yes?
Yeah. You know, barring anything unforeseen like losing a job or something, we are going to come out there and...
You're going to bring those folks over here, yes?
Yes. Yes, yes.
Bring it on. As Seal says.
Yes.
I mean, he had the song, honestly. I mean, he had the song, but, I mean, the words are good.
One heck of a singer.
Yes.
One heck of a singer.
Heck yeah. Oh, my God. Exquisite, exquisite exhibit of a person.
Yes.
Yes.
So, you got some poetry for us?
Well, I do, and I hope it's okay with you. I've never shared anything like this before on your show, so it'll be new. Today is, what, May 16th?
Yes.
And I wrote this on May 4th of 2014, this year. And there's something I don't typically do, a tiny preface, and it's a tiny bit longer poem than I usually read, if that's okay with you.
It's okay as long as it's PG-13 or better.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay.
It's in memoriam for my Uncle Eddie.
Oh, by all means.
All right.
By all means.
Okay. May 4th, 2014. After an exhaustive and unfulfilling search, I was unable to locate, sadly, an obituary this eve for my dearest Uncle Eddie Pierce, whom I truly adored. And at this hour, as the grandfather clock chimes another 15 minutes of time, in this countryside of the old Virginia landscape, I'm reminded of a time when he traversed this earthen trail, this path with us. May 4th, 1997 is the title of the poem. On this day, many a year back, dearest uncle, I was sat within that town, Richmond, Virginia, bearing down. When the alarm came in, the one of my dearest of kin, had tragically taken the path over. It was just light of 1 year or so when your nephew, Pierce, was born. He spoke to me once out in Marshall, Virginia. You loved his touch. He said, please remember the ambiance at the tender age of 7. I was so surprised that he would surmise such a word. Its meaning at his age surprised me, such beauty of the day. Later that year, and yes, I have spoken of this before, yet hear me out once again, please. At this tender age of 7, romper rooming on the family's property, Pierce found a stunning celadon luna moth. He swiftly looked at me and stated, Mommy, we must take him to the garden stone. I followed, as I am apt to do. You see, these wee young lasses and lads are newer still, often knowing more than we. But yes, for my lad's 7-year-old request, we placed La Lune moth upon the stone to the garden's entrance. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Then he swiftly instructed, Mommy, take out your lighter now and let this creature's soul free. I could not subside. His will I did abide and set La Luna moth free of earth and realm. He slowly falling to ashes. In my son's eyes I saw an understanding beyond will. An angel still he is to me. So magically has been our time in Marshall, Virginia, my grandparents' land, and today, in loving memory, dearest Uncle Eddie Pierce, feel our plea for your ever-loving guidance, as now you dance amongst the stars within heaven. In dream sleep, I am blessed to have heard your voice after your passing. You have always and kindly said, you are a good mother. Blessed be, my dear uncle, in your eternal sleep. And as you say to my offspring, please watch after your mother and father. We are one. Blessed be.
Very well written.
Wow. Wow. Well done. Well done.
Siddhartha always brings it. God, I love her work. I love all of your work. That's why it's so hard to put together these highlight reels. We're going to go from that to something that pales in comparison. Not because of the writing, but because of who's reading it. Let's go to me reading a entry by Joe Hartman.
All right, so now my treat for you guys. We have a person listening. She is at work right now. She could not call in, but I've been talking with her online. She told me to go ahead and pick one of her pieces to read. She is Jo Hartman. She's out in Oregon.
Okay.
She posts at All Poetry as Woman in the Woods. And I went out and I found one of her pieces that spoke to me, and this is entitled Earth Speak.
Mm.
Tara voices her tolerance for us in a throaty groan, the rasp of a blues singer's smoked out voice. She's grown tired of our human clamor cluttering her otherwise stoic presence as we tread and trash her surface, sucking dry precious resources. But she remains loyal and continues to tolerate us as a childless spinster, lips curled while in the presence of selfish children. It's no wonder she gets her stick out from time to time and attempts to chastise us to keep us in line.
Well done, yeah. Good.
Well done, Joe. Good piece. You have a lot of good pieces out there. If you want to check her out, go to allpoetry.com. Look up Woman in the Woods. She's got a lot of really good poetry out there.
And we're going to go from Joe Hartman, being read by me, to a close member of the family calling in during a time of trouble down in Albuquerque. Please welcome our good friend, Mr. Joe Zamora.
He is right now in Albuquerque. He is known as One Bad Monkey. He's been on the show as a guest. He's also a close friend of our family. Joe, how are you doing, brother?
Hello there. How you guys doing?
Doing good. We need you to turn down your listening device for just a moment. All right, brother?
You got it.
Awesome.
Perfect. Sounds good now.
Perfect. Now you sound great.
All right.
Is that better?
Yes.
Much. Thank you.
All right.
So I don't know if you want to cover what happened to you that you're in Albuquerque, but you have a poem you want to share with us?
I sure do, man. You know, as you know, my pops recently passed away, and he was a mentor to me, and the guy was my hero. He was a Korean War veteran, a fireman. He saved my life more than once. And another good friend of mine recently sent me a poem in honor of him, and it turned out that it was just absolutely perfect because, you know, it speaks about a ship in the ocean, and I'd like to share it with you now.
All right.
All right.
All right. I am standing upon the seashore. A ship at my side spreads her white sails to the morning breeze and starts for the blue ocean. She is an object of beauty and strength. And I stand and watch her until at length she hangs like a speck of white cloud just where the sea and sky come down to mingle. Then someone at my side says, "There she's gone." "Gone where?" "Gone from my sight, that is all. She is just as large in mast and hull and spar as she was when she left my side, and just as able to bear her load of living freight to the place of her destination. Her diminished size is in me, not in her. And just at the moment when someone at my side says again, "There, she's gone," there are other eyes across the sea watching her coming, and other voices ready to take up the glad shout, "There she comes," and that is dying.
Wow, brother.
Yeah, I really liked it too, you know. It gave me a great visual when I was reading it, and I knew right away that I had to share it at the wake.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I envision, you know, the person, they may leave our side here, but they're joining somebody else. And it's a beautiful homecoming, you know. It actually is a celebration on both sides. It's a celebration as a send-off, and it's a celebration as a welcome home.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
I couldn't
amen,
have said brother. It better myself.
Man. And you were at my pops's memorial service, and just brought down the house by standing up and playing taps off your smartphone.
Yeah.
I wanted to say I'm sorry I couldn't be there in Albuquerque with you, but just know that the entire World Poetry Open Mic crew is with you, holding you, consoling you, and we love you. You're part of the family.
We love you all. You're all parts of our family. I'm glad we get together most Friday nights. Now, this Friday is an exception. But there are still some of us getting together and walking art galleries downtown. Just take us with you there, too. I'm glad you're listening. So we're going to go from Joe to another newer caller to our show. Please welcome Lloyd.
His name is Lloyd. Lloyd, are you there, sir?
Yes. Hey, guys.
Hey, right. Welcome aboard.
How you guys doing tonight?
Doing good.
Hey, we're doing well.
Finally got you on the line.
Awesome, man. Hey, first of all, I want to say, hey, I didn't take offense, guys. I know accidents happen. It's been a very bittersweet week for me and very busy. So before I get on with my evening, I have one for you guys that I wrote exclusively this week for, it was actually in relating to all the gun crime and violence that's been going on around my city.
Uh-huh.
So, I'm not going to tell you what it's entitled until the very end. It's kind of, it goes together, but I'm ready.
All right.
All right, sir.
Last night, I took a walk with Death. He waited patiently at the end of my driveway as the sense of astonishment left my visage. There was no fear that accompanied his presence, but in his eyes, I foresaw a somber evening. Slowly, we walked side by side down the broken road, as with childhood friends. The silence between us reminded me of the aftermath of a lover's quarrel, how the wounded pride seemed to bind your voice, leaving only sadness and a sense of regret. Every once in a while, he would stop and survey the surrounding area, as if being called out to. In my curiosity, I came to a halt and returned that same sense of patience as he caressed the blade of his scythe with a trembling, loathsome aura about him. He looked at me and sadly smiled before vanishing with the wind, and the silence that offered me both solitude and benign neglect became my adversary in an instant. As I continued down the road, I was overwhelmed by an impulse to deviate from my usual path. A chilling breeze was the culprit, and I perceived this phenomenon to be a signal from my unknown friend. That night, I listened to my instincts, as every step I continued to take compounded the feelings of paranoia and anxiety. "Turn away," said my heart. The night was unusually calm, and I was determined to reach my destination without incident, as the full moon seemed to cast its celestial gaze before me, illumination that would remain elusive to the untrained eye. I thought of the sad smile I had witnessed upon his face. It seemed as if his plans were altered, and he left my side prematurely. Though silent, his movements spoke clearly. As I neared the highway, I heard what seemed to be a battle of the gods. Morbid repetition tore into the peaceful silence, leaving a sense of betrayal for all to witness as the smell of blood filled the air. I halted as I finally reached the highway, a grim realization caressing my shoulders as he reappeared to me. With a bowed head, he patiently waited for me to cross. In his hand, he held two gemstones. The first, painted an ominous luminescent crimson, shook violently in his hand. In my presence, it seems there was a sense of jealousy and hatred being emitted from the first stone, and my spellbound gaze was broken involuntarily as he slowly pressed the stone against his cloak, suffocating the light within as it disappeared with the subtlety of a stray cinder. I silently watched as he lowered the empty hand and presented yet another gem with the other. This one emitted a soft, white, warming glow, silently calling to me, feeding from my heart's resolve. I slowly turned my gaze to the eyes of death as once again he began to fade away. I saw a single black tear fall from his face as he finally spoke to me. "It is not my touch that calls them home these days. It is their own. The blind war of the soul survivors."
Wow.
Well done, Lloyd.
Thanks, guys.
That was something. That was an intense piece.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I wanted to dedicate that one to a friend of mine. He grew up with my father, and he lost his life earlier this week.
Ooh.
Gun crime. And, you know, I wrote that poem about 3 days ago, and I wanted to share it exclusively on World Poetry Open Mic. And before I go, I wanted to turn that, you know, the sense of dread, I wanted to turn it around by saying, I don't know who did it, but somebody played the Blue Oyster Cult's version of Godzilla.
That was our half squatch.
They knew tonight was the world premiere of the new Godzilla movie, and I am so, so mad.
Oh, that's all right. You know what? We're going to go there right after we're done here.
All right. This is Jay Todd. I do want to remind you, do not call. We are doing a highlight show. This is a best of. Actually, you're all great. So if we skip somebody, miss somebody, I am sorry. There's only a limited amount of time. I do want to go to a caller from Ohio who's been a longtime supporter of the show. Please welcome Tate.
Tate, are you there?
Hey, Tate, are you there?
Yeah, how are you?
Doing very well,
thanks. We're rather silly tonight. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I had a great day, although it's always raining or snowing around here.
Is it raining and snowing over around you now?
It snowed here just, a week ago. I'm thinking, I've never seen it snow at the end of April, ever, in all my life.
Really?
Really? Oh, yeah.
You've never lived in Denver then, because it can snow all the way up to, like, July 4th.
And I'm not kidding. Actually, one time in late April, I was inside a shopping mall, and it started snowing and raining rocks. And I will explain that later.
All right.
Okay.
It actually did. That's a real story.
Well, I don't know what to give you tonight. You know, I got to thinking, maybe I'll read you this short one of mine. I wrote one about Sir Ernest Shackleton once.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you know about him.
Yeah, Shackleton, down to the South Pole, beginning of World War I. Yeah.
Yes. This was,
wow, that
this
actually did make you appear smarter than everybody.
He put an article in the London Times that said, "Men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success." To that, he got over 5,000 applicants, and from those, he took 28.
And strangely, that's exactly how I described my first marriage. Yeah. I'm kidding.
Drive mine. No.
All right. So if you live in Colorado Springs, your hate mail goes to.
Oh wow! I'll send it to Focus at the Family. They'll send it to me.
There you go.
That's right.
All right. Anyway, sir.
This is not that long.
All right.
True success known by oh so few who have held its taste so dear, becoming one's most loving friend as well as the thing they most fear. Is success so overwhelming or reflection's failure you dread? Have a mind to be tested here before on your fears you're fed. It's not he thinking but or not who'll be served life's greatest dish. Only a man who risks his pride can dream of dining on his wish. Whichever man you choose to be in this lifetime as in the next will lay foundation for the others who'll study you and feel perplexed. The man who sees his limits dashed, rendered from toil of sweat and tears, is he who's lived more in life than most will know in all their years.
Well done, my poetic brother.
Did I read you End of Days a couple weeks ago?
I don't think so.
Maybe.
All right. I just wrote this. I'll read this one to you, and then we'll call it a night.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Well, you can call it a night. We're not through yet.
I know. Well, you have plenty of people calling you. Both the tears that live in sorrows, along with tears born from pain, echo through lost tomorrows that will never come again. For I had closed my heart away as to hide behind a door. For the longing I had kept at bay would trouble my soul no more. With the storms brought by the spring came the April wind sublime, the children's happy feet now sing pitter-patter keeping time. I'd kept the promise to my heart, burning love has kept me warm, already for the end in part, with my back turned towards the storm. For the sun did set upon my chest as lost love cried out in me, give me life or give me rest, was the sound of my heart's plea.
Well done.
Yeah, very
strong
nice.
Work.
Wow.
Have a good night.
Hey, thank you. Thanks so much.
Have a good night as well. Wow.
Love your work. Thank you, man.
Thank you very much.
Tate is really talented. And we're going to go from Tate to another very talented person. Her name, Renee J. Martin.
How are you?
I'm doing well, and how are you?
Doing good. Thank you for joining our family.
Oh, well, that was fun listening to Rita.
It was, yes. Wasn't it?
That was so
yeah, fun. I've read her work before.
And Renee, where do you put your poetry online?
It's on Writer's Cafe.
And what Nom de Plume or handle or whatever? Handle's more like CB Radio. What Nom de Plume do you use?
What's my name?
Yes.
Renee J. Martin.
On Writer's Cafe too?
Yes.
Nice. I like people that keep it legit and straight up.
Yeah.
However, my name's not really Underhill, so, you know, I just blasted myself.
Way to go, J. Todd.
You notice we both just
yes.
got
yeah,
quiet
we did.
And just looked
there was
at
like,
them.
Their jaws dropped. They're like, really? You just did that? But my last name is actually Smith, so it's very common. It's not, it'll get lost in the library, so that's why I go by Underhill.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you need something. Mm-hmm.
So, Ms. Martin, what are you going to share with us?
A poem.
Okay,
yeah. I'm sharing a novel tonight.
And that poem is entitled...
and what novel would this be?
It's
would it be
Knowing
A War and Peace?
Or The Morning Dove.
All right.
Okay. When your presence I cannot see, you are the call of the morning dove that haunts my sunrise, spellbinding my heart to fly wherever you walk. I watch her on the telephone line as he climbs the fountain below, cooing with each move up. She seems to ignore him as she flies away, but just how far does she fly? Just far enough that he cannot see her, but he knows as he stands upon that fountain top calling. She is listening, just like me. You know I hear your heartbeat. It is a sure thing, not a feeling. More unknowing. They will build a nest, and we have been together before. It is written on an ancient wall buried by the sands.
Well done, Renee.
Tommy on the air. Tommy, are you there?
Yep.
Hey, Tommy.
What's up?
Not much. This is Tommy from New Jersey, correct?
Yes, it is.
Awesome.
The Tommy from New Jersey.
Welcome. Yeah, the one and only. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
And you're going to share a poem with us?
Yeah, I got one for you guys.
All right.
It's called Pigeon Man. It's like it's about society.
All right.
TV's going on in the living room, talking about our doom. We're laying on the front lawn, and yesterday's long gone. Woman showing skin, too fat, too thin. She can never win, throwing up yet again. Listen up, man, we're all damned. Re-repeating reprimands, demolition on demand. Locate security, trying to make camp an independent infidelity. Strutting to the bank, cashing in corrupted currency. Stock market sank. Guitar man teary-eyed, rock and roll came and died. Record producers, big old lies. Broken dreams and wasted time. Colorado Smokey Joe lights a bone, faded out to the ozone. Smoking on homegrown, got glaucoma, get an O. Shut up, dude, we're all screwed. Forget the olden days. Give marriage to the gays. Let go of the narrow-minded, silly ways. Let it be as common as classic Frito-Lays. Rolling in the new waves. Is it God who really saves? Is there even one big deity? Guess there is if you believe. Be born, live life, go to college, get a wife. Get a job, sacrifice. It's the norm, but is it right? Have a kid, then another. Father, mother, sister, brother. Try to tolerate each other. Watch your back, bro, because I don't know. Undecided, undeclared, running circles, running scared. Take a risk, double dare. Love needs to be redefined, unanimously agreed and signed. Peace in the heart and the mind. Going down the rabbit hole, striving for the same goal. Anti-bullying campaign. Kid comes home bloodstained. Toughen up, enough's enough, individuality. Opposing mainstream reality. Wise man taken as a fool becomes another social casualty. Feel it, taste it on the back of your tongue. Hanging by the gallows, martyrs hung. Climbing up the ladder's rungs. Foul-smelling whiskey bums. Grab a wad and stash it. Looking like you're bad shit. Steal a car and crash it. Always wash your berries before you eat them and fly towards the sun.
Nice.
Wow. Very well done.
Tommy. Strong work.
Thank you.
Wow.
Wow, indeed. Tommy from New Jersey throwing down. And we're going to go from Tommy. I do want to remind you, do not call. This is a highlight show. We will be back next week with the World Poetry Open Mic and, of course, World Poetry After Dark. You're not going to want to miss that. Friday the 13th, a special show for you. We're going to go from Tommy to Christine, the wife of our show producer, Half Squatch, reading Ilhana.
This was sent in to us, and forgive me because I am going to just butcher this name. Ilhana Sacco.
All right.
It's called Is Not Love. Hey, when you look at me, do you see me as I am? Do you feel my heart beating, my fears, my pain? Do you know my desires, the dreams that I made? Do you know anything about my past, learned anything about my present? Do you know about my struggles, the tears I shed at night, the screams when I'm not sleeping, the wounds that made a scar? Do you know about my failures, and how did I survive when life gave me nothing and took from me a lot? Then, how do you dare to say you love me when there's nothing in your eyes, when lie is hidden on your lips and seduction in your touch, when you don't pay attention, if I'm not around, if you are ignoring me, then how can I call this love?
Nice!
Wow. That was really good. Well read.
Well read, yes. Oh,
bravo.
Great voice,
but
great tempo.
All right, we're going to go from Christine reading one of our submissions to our worldpoetryopenmic.net contact form to a first-time caller. We had Alex from Wisconsin.
Now, guys, I think we have a new caller.
Okay.
Here. Now, this is Alex. Alex, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Alex, how you doing?
Welcome aboard.
I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
Doing good. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Wisconsin.
Hey, welcome.
Thanks.
All right, so if you could do me a favor, the speaker you're listening to the show on, can you turn it down really quick?
Yep.
All right.
All right, awesome.
Cool. And what do you have to share with us tonight?
Oh, I have a poem that I wrote a couple months ago. I just like got really bored and I just started writing. And
perfect.
I came up with a poem called Broken.
Okay.
All right.
Whenever you're ready.
A horse on a hill, so silent and still. Not a word is spoken, for his spirit will be broken. A horse and a cowboy, best friends as it seems, but only to be found in a child's sweet dreams. For Mustang and man, there is no certainty of plan. It's all going free, and they will certainly not agree. The things that they do to break a horse's soul are horrid and leaving them no longer whole. People tend to say that man and Mustang have a way, that when he dismounts, the horse will not stray. But in a horse's mind, he wants to flee. Nothing seems better than to finally be free. A horse cannot be broken. A horse will have to see the cruelness of man and the ways that we can be. For Mustang and man do not seem to fit. The feel of the bit, the squeak of the leather, and none shall forget the harsh white feather, the whip, the rod, and the coldness of being shod, a heaviness of steel pounded in so hard that it doesn't seem real. The dust and the mud, the sweat and the blood, they all try so hard to prove themselves. But to who? Not the horse, but to only a few. The ones with cold souls, the ones who break the foals. It passes their eyes of the innocent mind that a horse has, but they are not blind. They don't get excuses. It's not like the horse is the one who chooses. A horse on a hill, so silent and still. Not a word is spoken, for his spirit will be broken. A horse and a cowboy, best friends as it seems, but only to be found in a child's sweet dreams.
Nice!
Wow.
Thank you.
Now, Alex, I think that's a really interesting take. Now, I at one point owned a whole bunch of horses, was really involved in that world, and I think it's a really interesting, an interesting concept that you're talking about there. That it's you know, only in a childhood sweet dreams is the best friend. Are they actually best friends? The spirit has actually been broken.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's very insightful.
Strong, right?
Yeah.
And from Alex from Wisconsin, we're going to go all the way out to the West Coast, Mr. Don Hagelberg.
Now, speaking of pros and people who are, not pros, it's P-R-O-S-E, professionals.
Professionals. Pros is a whole other story.
And someone who's, you know, you can tell is really deeply committed to the art. We have our next caller, Mr. Don Hagelberg.
Don.
Are you there, sir?
I am, sir.
Welcome to our show.
Well, thank you very much. And J. Todd, Michael, J.T., how you going?
Doing good. Forget about it.
Doing good.
So what do you have for us, sir?
Remarkable. I'm glad that you are doing well. How do you like that phony British accent?
I liked it.
This poem, I misgave the... the length, it's 39 lines and not 28, so I apologize.
No, that's fine.
But here we go. It is titled "Wo bist du?" It's Yiddish for "Where are you?" And this is for Ruth Weiss, and it's subtracted with the words "mit Liebe," with love. And where are you? Once a child of the Germanic languages, then pumped up like a tummy ache, having swallowed English. What languish do you have about what you spoke now that you speak all lush and liquid? What bits of your whisper pool in Blake's ears, to melt his stone, to melt his wax, to melt his soft version of a hipster down to that size, handable by your giant set of eyes, which hold the magnifying lenses by which you step back and forth. Sad like your eyes play plaintive sax, and all the words of your vision are heard in down deep improvisation. Queen of survivors, queen of inspiration, your word notes harmonize with and create the timpani of jazz. When Minnie's can-do club, the last club to beat down the walls of separation, the walls of segregation, with musical hammers and compressed blasts of horns of air, queen of words, the phrases you wrote, record in vinyl 78, the play, the description, not only of yourself, but also of your time and of your generation. Call and response, very swift. Your Majesty, very, very swift. And this will be presented at Gaia's Garden in Santa Rosa, Monday, May 12th, early dinner from 4 to 6, and a book launch at 6.
Nice.
Really?
And the book title is And the Beat Goes On. It's an homage to beat poets, and Ruth Weiss was there. She was the individual who set poetry to jazz, the first one to do it.
Nice.
Wow.
Wasn't Ruth Weiss, wasn't she involved with Jerry Garcia for a bit out there?
That I don't know. I don't think so, but it could have been. But she was in the North Beach set, and by that I mean, let's see, what do we call it? Sonny Nelson, Jack Minger, Will Carlson. That was at the Cellar in North Beach in 1956.
Nice. Huh. Very okay. Well done, brother. Wow.
John, yeah, that was great.
Really
work.
Great poem.
And it's a great place to promote the book, because I think there's a lot of people on the show that really really admire your work.
A lot of people do admire his work. Another person, and he's on the West Coast as well, that we admire their work, always calling into the show as of recent. Please welcome Dale.
I heard one a couple weeks ago. It's called Hell in My Bone. Even though I've seen the light, it's a little bit of a spiritual piece for me.
All right.
So, unstable intuitions sometimes lead my intentions into confusion, causing the water under the bridge to rise and wash it out. Gut reactions become insecure when the fire of compassion turns cold as ice due to frozen anxieties. Lord knows I'm not perfect, even though I've tried walking on water, only to end up drowning while taking innocent swimmers down with me. With age has come wisdom, and now I know my place is along the shoreline, being a pillar of faith in the community of humanity. That doesn't stop me from giving in to the temptation of testing the calm seas, only to create rough waters. I know deep down there is hell in my bones, so I thank God that Jesus' blood runs through my veins. There you go.
Nice.
Well done.
Hello?
Wow.
You thought there was nothing. There's a special button I have to hit for you to be able to hear us rather than everybody else.
Yeah.
So you heard dead silence. Dale, we have nothing to say to you.
Never like
that. That was good. That was great, man.
That was awesome. Yeah.
Boy, I never said you know that's good or bad.
No. That was really good. That was really good.
You silenced the room.
And we're going to go from Dale to someone that I've been friends with for quite a long time online. Always kept saying, hey, why don't you check out the show? Finally, she gave us a call. This is Alice.
Our next caller is actually from the Denver, Colorado area.
Yeah, hey.
Hey.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Excellent. This is Alice, right?
Yeah, this is Alice New Moon.
Alice, how are you? I've been seeing you online a lot.
I know. This is my first time listening in. I apologize.
Oh, no. I'm glad you called our show.
Oh, that's what's up. I was always thinking about you, for real.
Well, you know, I've been thinking about you, too. Your poetry is amazing.
He's always thinking about himself, too, so don't take that too seriously. Oh, there you
go. That's what
we're
supposed to do.
There you go. There you go. Does this need to be part of the After Dark section? Is that where we're going? No. Oh, okay. All
right. Calm down. Calm your horses.
All right.
All right. So I'm going to do one that I actually did really post on Facebook. Like, you know, being a poet is amazing because that means you're tapping into yourself and your energy, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And so, this one is called The God in My Yard.
All right.
Okay. It is said I was molded in clay, perfected in man was choice of my creator plan. Gave me male siblings to add to the twist. Would I be crowned empress through just one kiss? Ah, but yes, came that breath of life, the first pillar into this polarity of duality. Equal in all parts as my system breathes to rhythms of solstice technique. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Walking through portals of experience. These portals called yards, cause strength to wisdom came from the sons of God. New moon selling destinies in clubs while my heart said, don't forget to pray as I pray on the next move. The queen matching moves of choice, decisions as the voice of angels guide to protect and herald the return. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. The God in my yard fed nations of water to wine, never the swine that makes for a pork roast. Instead, we toast to the creator of all thoughts, actions, as we live to rejoice. The God in my yard brought down swords, wands, pinnacles, and coins in order to gird up one's loins. A wealthy, abundant design, sometimes criminalized in hated eyes. As spies attempt to decipher my cipher as if I ask for critique. And what they found was how I am so very unique. No, not many like me. Thus I move in accordance with the signs as I begin again to manifest what is mine.
Alice, don't quit calling our show. That was great.
Thank you.
Oh, man, you made us wait so long for that great work.
That's what's up.
It's Alice, okay. It was worth it.
Appreciate you guys.
Oh, yeah. We love you, Alice. Welcome to our family.
Hey!
Yeah.
Hey, where I get a t-shirt?
Oh, you can get a t-shirt from our online store if you go to our website.
Or
the
other thing you can do is when in about 3-4 months when we have an event, actually come out to the event and come out, read poetry, hang out with us.
You know what? I look forward. Whatever you guys want me to do, I'm with it.
God, I love Alice. She's an amazing writer, spoken word artist, and she's here locally, too. That's weird that we would meet up online. Anyway, we're going to go from Alice to Michigan, Mr. Chris from Writer's Cafe.
Someone who is an amazing poet, a longtime supporter of the show, someone that I just look forward to his work so much. We have on the line Chris.
Chris, hey, welcome aboard, brother.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing good.
Glad to hear you. What's this about you guys having a late night
After dark. This segment, we're going to do another segment. We're going to let the people that want the family-oriented show tune out. We're going to give them a little bit of warning. Then we're going to open it up to more adult content, shall we say.
Interesting. When's this going to begin?
Right after this segment.
Yeah, it's
after a few more poets and then a couple more songs.
Then the gloves are off.
That's exactly where I was going to go with that. Right on.
All right, I'll fall back for that one.
Right on.
Oh, good.
Bring it.
So, what do you have for us in this segment?
This PG-13.
I posted a new one today, and it had a lot going for it. Basically, it was having a Friday thought.
All right.
I wandered the pixel world this morning, paused here while looking there and there,
and there too. I had some coffee, listened to and felt sums, misgivings and anxieties. Was touched by both sunshine and season's chill. Breathed air from Singapore and Oz. My paths took me through venues and by the ways. I even wondered of traffic in the towns of Fukushima's prefecture and midday within the city of London. I had the beginnings of a real conversation with a poet that at first didn't realize we were talking. Or perhaps she did realize it, but her inherent nature kept her more thoughtful and near immediate voiceless. After a bit, I wandered on. I thought of permanence and impressions, yesterdays, and the impact of so many different tomorrows. Each felt in their own unique semblance, timeline, and people peculiar slices and shards of existence. I thought about people and family, and the stress of movings and awakenings, all the cumulative changings throughout our normal lives, our acceptance toward and the depth of rage felt, expressed, and let go. And even surviving daily success, we're just dealing with our own failures to thrive. And then I thought of an uncommon epitaph. We lived with change. We lived with change, words to live by, worlds some died by, times often described by, limits and remember whens. And we lived or didn't, really, lives that existed within unstable frames, uncertain beginnings, each continuing meant yet another loss to be accepted, another set difference to adjust to, another time to relate to, yet another pause to consider everything, even ends.
Wow. Strong writing, thanks, brother.
Interesting times. Interesting times.
It is. It's a very interesting time that we live in.
Once again, you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic Highlight Show. The lines are not open. Do not call in. We will be back next Friday with a live show for you guys, and we will be doing an extra special After Dark segment towards the end of the show. So we're going to go from Chris at Writer's Cafe to Mr. Lewis Finley from Savannah, Georgia.
So then in that case, we have Mr. Lewis.
Lewis! Welcome, Lewis, from Savannah, Georgia.
Lewis, are you there, sir?
There, how you doing? Last time I talked to you.
Oh, doing good. How are you doing?
Well, let's say I had one of them weeks. Felt a little bit like Lot's wife in the Bible back in the Old Testament. I should have kept the eyes on the behind in front of me, still looking back at my own behind while the good master up yonder set it afire.
Yeah.
All in all, I'm doing okay, though.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Got a little bit of something from the genre of what you might call the Christian macabre for you.
Christian macabre.
Yeah.
So praise and gothic mixed. Love it.
You're right. Praise and gothic flange, you might say.
Nice.
Joan Crawford, the Raven Phoenix, has come forth. Alas, the light archangel from glory is cast out. And Lucifer has fallen, and he is serpentine without a doubt. And Adam is too clever for him. So Lucifer seeks to deceive the mother of the living,
our own sweet Mother Eve. Turn this here. And all is lost. Set forth the hounds of hell, Eden now gone, and Lucifer triumphant. Hear him sing his morbid song. And Cain and Abel born, and Abel did surely die. And Cain expelled to live and nod. The war begins to nigh. For Seth comes forth and battles wars. The bloodshed becomes the rage. Elijah at Mount Carmel. The battle of the age. Jehovah versus Molech. Who is God? And who is the lie? Elijah's Christ is proven. The Antichrist must die. As Ahab as his and his Jezebel, the wicked king and queen, do as the Cain before them. Their evil song do sing. As mothers offer children to Molech's evil flame, those two protect and serve as then so now do protect and serve but their own name. And now I ask, I do inquire, is it that Mother Eve would have attempted to murder Abel, and that dear family grieve? Could a shadow pass from that beginning of innocent of known time? For vengeance doth belong to Yahweh. Yet quoth the karma lingo, karma is mine. The raven and the phoenix now coexist as one, and rule the night and day, the moon and yes, the sun. The queen of spades has risen. The sky, she wails from shore to shore. One word, the fiery ebony. It is the nevermore. Thank you.
There is a lot to ponder in that poem.
There is. Holy there really cow. Is.
One of them happens to have spent a long time.
Yes.
Thousands of years.
Eons.
Eons.
Millennia.
Millennia. Studying a form that was that has now become known as haiku.
Yes.
But back then, I don't think it had a name.
Kind of.
It's very, very old.
The form of haiku.
Yes. I think it used to be called San Diego.
San Diego?
Yes. It's a very long story.
Is that anywhere near Los Angeles?
Los Angeles.
All right, let's just get... You know what's funny? It's
sorry.
Like every little path we go down, I start going, oh, that was a bad idea.
Yeah.
let's just keep going. All right, so anyway, ladies and gentlemen, our very own, your very own, because he lives to serve you, Haiku Master.
That bit didn't work.
But this theme song really works.
It does.
Hi-ya!
There can only be one. I want to apologize for that theme song, but I really don't apologize for
you
that.
You should
please
apologize.
Don't apologize for it.
It's so wrong, which makes it so right.
Describes
wow.
so much of my life in one sentence. Okay, so in case you haven't heard before, or in case you just need a reminder, we have the Haiku Master here, JT, otherwise known as the Half Squatch. He's a man of a thousand names. writes haiku every week, and we don't really say what the central subject is. If you think you have an idea, send it to us on worldpoetryopenmic.net in the contact form, or you can go to worldpoetryopenmic on Facebook and put it there. So,
or you can email radioangry@gmail.com.
That has nothing to do with the show.
Yeah, what the?
Or you can email, find a local real estate agent in your area. Just send them the answer. One word, don't qualify. Just send it to them.
Just shout it from the.
We're just sending them up to everybody. Email the Vatican.
You can shout it from your rooftop if you wanted to.
Yeah, we might hear it.
We might.
Then again, we might not.
There true.
All right, read the damn IQ.
Okay. All right. So, number one, concrete socks us in. The giants roar their anger, rocks thrown all around.
All right.
Okay. Number two, cold tears have fallen. Creepy crawlers lap it up. Hair begins to sprout. And then number three, time to seed the earth. The cold slumber is over. A gift well received.
I know it's not puberty.
Speak for yourself, my friend. This is very accurately. Never mind. This describes my 13th year. No, I'm kidding.
You know what? Providing us a modicum of entertainment.
Modicum.
He is a haiku master. What happened there?
It's almost like sitting in a small swimming pool filled with cottage cheese. Doesn't even work.
Hi-ya!
All right. So, that's the Haiku Master, available only on worldpoetryopenmic.net and artradiocollective.com. And want to let you know, do not call in. Our lines are closed. We're out walking up and down art galleries, having some paleo coffee or something like that. Listening to some good music, some good poets, and maybe performing ourselves, too. Who knows? At this point, I probably have enough drinks in me that I'm probably performing on a street corner somewhere. That being said, we've got a couple more callers for this highlight show. First one is Marcia.
Who do we got next?
Speaking of incredible poets, we have Marcia.
Hello.
Marcia, yeah. Are you there?
Marcia, welcome back.
Yes, I'm here.
How are you?
I'm very good. How are you guys?
Doing very
sounds
well.
Like you're very good too.
Oh, we are. I'm enjoying tonight.
Yeah, sounds like you're having a wonderful time.
So what do you have for us?
Well, I just heard that wonderful poem by Lloyd, and I think I will do one about death as well, but it's a little bit of a different take.
Okay.
All right.
And it's very short. Is it okay if I do two since it's so short?
Oh, of course.
Okay. All righty. Well, this one is called, He Came in the Darkness. He came in, are you ready? Okay. He came in the darkness, moved through the door, though it be closed. He glided through the rooms until he found the right one. He stood by the child's bed. His heart was heavy. Oh, how I hate this job, he cried to himself. He reached down and touched his hand to the child's hot, flushed face. He felt her soul rise weightlessly toward the heavens. He let go a sigh of relief as he knew the child was no longer suffering. The child's mother sat sleeping in a chair on the other side of the bed, a weary look on her face. He would be back for her later, but not tonight.
Great work.
It was really good.
Very dark.
Oh.
Very, very, very dark. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Okay.
Okay. We're here for all of that, you know, and that's
okay.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so what's the second one you have for us?
The second one is a kind of autobiographical, and
okay.
It's called Sweeping the Earth.
All right.
And I've got to bring it up on my computer.
Yeah. No worries.
Sure.
No worries.
Yeah, just a sec.
I'll do some acapella singing in the meantime if you need me to.
Oh yes, please.
So we have a button over here that totally stops him on my end so that nobody else can hear this.
Okay, we're ready.
All right.
Good.
this was from when I was a child, about 9 or 10 years old. It's called Sweeping the Earth.
All right.
When I was a child, I lived in a small, shabby house. Right next to the right side of the house stood a beautiful, huge maple tree. It was a favorite place for family to gather in the summer. Its light green canopy provided wonderful shade, but because of the shade, no grass grew under our maple tree. In an effort to make our humble lounging area more appealing, I used to sweep it with a broom. Only poor people sweep the earth. People with means plant shade grass or construct beautiful patios of concrete or tile. But I swept the earth. We do what we must to survive with some modicum of dignity, and sweeping the earth under our beloved maple tree was a matter of pride. What we had wasn't much, but I could help keep it tidy and neat. So I swept the earth.
Well done, Marcia.
Marcia, great work.
Thank you.
Great work.
Oh, man.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
And from Marcia, we're going to go to where I learned radio from, up in Bozeman, Montana. This is David.
David! Oh, from my home stomping grounds, Bozeman, Montana. How you doing, brother?
Hey, doing good.
Hey, welcome to our show.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, David might know those call letters.
He might know a couple of them.
I've only heard the last two or three callers, because I just tuned in a moment ago.
No, the call letters are the stations that I worked at KBOZ-FM and KGLT.
Oh, yeah, I know those.
Yeah. See, he does.
Okay. Name dropper.
Oh, yeah. Big name dropper.
Yeah. That and 50 cents might get me a gumball somewhere.
Hey, do you know what concert only costs 45 cents?
Hmm.
50 cent Nickelback?
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
All right, David, do you have a poem to save us from Christine's humor?
Hey.
What's that?
Do you have a poem?
I do have a poem. This one's it's a fresh one. I just wrote it a few days ago, so it's the first draft.
Nice.
All right,
it's just for you, if you're ready for it.
We're ready.
All right. I let go. I give myself to freedom. I forgive myself for sleeping, for waking at the wrong time, the right time. I don't hold the self responsible for self-doubt, for self-seeking, for knowing anything itself. I am still awake. I haven't slept for days, didn't go to work, to school, to the party. I went to buy the vodka and the cranberry juice. I went to buy the beef and the produce. I cooked dinner for my family because they said I should, and I drank plastic wine from a coffee mug. Bit the porcelain between my unclean teeth, unclean by no sleeping, by expensive eating, by drunken dreaming away from home. She was good to show me myself in the reflection on her platinum crown, the oil on the forehead of an honest friend who does her best to see me. She needs good eyes to see me, and I told her she was strong. I am honest. It takes strength to see me and to show me, and to show a self to me. It takes strength to see my weakness and to speak honestly. I am grateful for the points in the triangle, for the three lights hung on a string, for three glasses to fill with toxin and detox, an acidic, delicious situation laced with naked realities lay across an unclean carpet as plain as a stain, sweet and intoxicating to feel hope inside of pain, to love pain for sheltering hope, to love pain for being undiluted by fear or self-hate. His lungs aren't done for, but maybe they should be. Maybe it's just a moment in history. History is a maybe and forever. The king can see the future. His lungs are tar-filled cancers. She told about the star sign. Stars are too old for star signs. The three in the attic are too ancient for flesh in jeans and shirts and a yellow dress. The sun has turned the window square into a bright blue daytime. Air escapes this canvas, touches the faces staring there with a cold peace for a piece of sleep.
Hey. Hell yeah, David. That was awesome.
That was really good.
Thank you.
Dude, that...
That's a first draft?
That's a first draft.
Oh, man.
That's first draft. I haven't... I've read it a few times, and I don't know if I'm going to do anything to it yet.
I vote no. I like that the way it is.
Wow.
It's really good, yeah.
All right. David from Bozeman leading us to the person batting cleanup on this highlight episode. She's a strong poet from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She is Rita.
We had her on the line. We dropped her off the line. We had her on the line. It was the hokey pokey phone-wise. Please welcome Rita.
Hello. Hello.
Hello, Rita.
Sorry, Rita.
Welcome.
That was the hardest phone call I've ever made.
Right? Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. You want to share a poem with us?
I do.
Awesome.
Now that I can hear you guys.
Nice.
I have a poem for Memorial Day.
All right.
And I'd like to share it with you. It's called Unknown. Laid to rest with honor, no names upon the stones. May these men have eternal peace in the tomb of the unknowns. Unknown where they came from, unknown how they died, deserving of all homage for what had been denied. Their families had no closure, mothers grieved but never knew. A grateful country owes them, they paid our freedom's due. Guards walk the mat precisely, brave men never alone. Salutes of 21 paces at the tomb of the unknown. Here rests in honored glory, heroes we will not disown, American soldiers of valor, only to God they are known.
Wow. That was so really good, Rita. Thank
well
you.
Well done.
Thank you for calling back for that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
We
thank
would
you
have
very
been
much.
Sorely missing that.
All right. This has been J. Todd Underhill, your humble host, and for the Half Squatch and Michael Amadei, Christine, and everybody else involved in World Poetry Open Mic, we want to thank you for tuning in. We will see you next week, barring anything unforeseen and Michael and I not needing bail money. If so, Steve, we will be calling you. Once again, World Poetry Open Mic each and every Friday at worldpoetryopenmic.net.
Out on the scene today, blasted in every way, got you caught on the other side. Some things you just can't hide, feel the poison of changing me. All that I'll ever be comes back crushing on into me. Here it comes again. Has it spotted you? Oh no. Have they got you too? Oh no. Has it spotted you? Oh no. Have they got you too? Oh no. With every step it takes, something inside me breaks. Hang myself by a rope of words. Whether or not it hurts, got to save you from all of yours. Demons that had to score every trick that you've pulled before. Here it comes again. Has it spotted you? Oh no. Have they got you too? Oh no. Has it spotted you? Oh no. Have they got you too? Oh no. We're heading for a fall. Set your mind at ease. Won't you save us from little things?
my feelings to go right to your day into a black box and it came out great. Has it spotted you? Oh no. Have they got you too? Oh no. Has it spotted you? Oh no. We're heading for a fall. Set your mind at ease. Won't you save